And definitely Dead Band on Facebook. So gather your beautiful people, follow the dancing lights, and let the music carry you into the stars.
Hey, this is Michael O'Keefe. You're listening to KPFK 90.7 Los Angeles, 98.7 Santa Barbara, 93.7 San Diego, and 99.5 Ridgecrest and China Lake. Radio powered by the people.
Cue the conga playing penguins.
Live at you.
For real.
Oh, yeah.
The program's about to begin.
Oh yeah, it's the Poet Show, our power, KPFK 90.7 FM. I'm Jeff Keller on this sunny Friday afternoon.
And I am Esteban Sul, right here, where I'm supposed to be, on time.
You're on time today, what the heck?
Yeah, I came early because I wanted to bring you a lunch. Did you enjoy that quinoa salad?
How'd you know it's quinoa salad? That
because
was good.
I can smell it on your breath.
That was the stuff. Hey, tonight, people, 7 o'clock, I'll be at the Ice House in Pasadena, so come on out. You go online, get your tickets. It's called Home Before 9. Starts at 7, you'll be home before 9. So come out. It's going to be fun. Stacy Lynn Fletcher and myself and others. So come out to the Ice House, people. And you'll have a good time. Mm-hmm. So what you doing, man? You writing. What you writing?
Oh, I'm writing my memoirs. I met Jeff on a stormy night.
at a coffee house.
At a coffee house where everything went wrong.
That's when it...
Only one thing went right, and that was I kicked my headphones out, and I can't hear myself.
Oh, no, it wasn't you. I couldn't hear what was going on either, so don't feel bad.
Well, you know, we're dealing with some janky equipment.
Kind of like a janky president, right?
KPFK, janky Pacifica Radio. We need some money, man, and we got a janky president who took away all the funding for this type of stuff.
Well, you know, the craziness now the courts are getting involved and saying, well, you know what? Why are you tearing down the ballroom and not listening to Congress?
Wait, I thought that the DOJ just made some kind of argument saying, well, if Trump wants to, he could just tear down the Statue of Liberty.
Well, they can say it they want. It doesn't mean it's legal.
But the Department of Justice is trying to argue this.
Well, it makes no sense because Congress is the one that makes the decisions.
Yeah, that's what they said right before they went and dropped bombs in Iran.
Well, I'm not saying that they do stuff illegally. I'm just saying the legal stuff, legally
is gone. Just like your precious democracy, Jeff. The experiment is over. We're in a full-on autocracy here.
It's done?
You're the one to keep telling me that.
It's time to start over for sure, guys.
There it is. It's Lalo on the line, baby. What's going on?
Hey, sorry, I had some technical difficulties today. It's Friday, so that was my difficulty.
Technical difficulty number one, yes.
Yeah. So, how are you guys doing? Sorry I'm late.
Sorry, man, we're doing great. Man, it's sunny. We're in California. They're counting ballots. Trump is saying that they're finding that they're being stolen and the election's being stolen. And
you know, it's like, your guy is winning, you idiot.
That's the funny part, right? Your guy's winning. Yeah. Wow.
Ay, ay, ay.
I'm trying to figure out, how's he winning? And how has ICE not knocked on his door?
That's right. Like, I've been saying, why didn't he stay home? Then we're talking about... What's Steve Hilton?
Yep.
Steve Motel 6. Why didn't he stay home and fix his own country?
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
And, well, people don't get the joke online sometimes, and they go, well, because he messed up his own country. I go, okay, got it. Got it. But, your boy's winning, Trump. Just, you know, I don't know what to say, man. He's Looney Tunes.
Yeah, and he's got great plans, like how to resolve the homeless situation. Well, we'll just build a bunch more houses. Oh, so your friends will build a bunch more houses that the homeless won't go to, and then your friends will go ahead and rent them out and lease them out.
Yeah. Well, wait, what's the loon are we talking about? The governor candidate?
Yeah, Hilton. Yeah, talk about Hilton.
Yeah, or Spencer Pratt.
Spencer Pratt ain't got a clue. This guy don't even know. He's like, let's send him to Terminal Island.
Build a crystal palace. That guy is again, another loon bot.
Yeah, nobody's on Alcatraz. No one's using that. Just send out a homeless there. It'll be all right.
They can swim there.
Yeah. He acts like we haven't had a homeless problem since the 70s. He acts like that Karen Bass had just happened when she became mayor.
Yeah. They're trying to act like we don't have the best weather. Everyone. Who doesn't want to live over here? Everybody.
No, and Trump is trying to mess up our finances, right? Because we're having the world soccer here, but he's like, well, you know, if they don't have the visa and they got to do this and that, he's just messing with our economy, knowing that we'll make billions of dollars off this.
He called for replacing the soccer balls with footballs.
No, he didn't.
That's how.
No, he did not. No, he did not. You know what the bad part is, Lalo? I can see him doing that.
It can happen.
I can see him doing that. Yeah, how come they don't have goalposts? What's up with that?
Their goalpost is upside down.
Yes, we got to get goalposts.
Stuck in the ground.
Uh-huh. And why is every player their kicker? Who's running with the ball? Where's the wide receiver at?
Man. We turned Trump into Seinfeld.
I know. Hey, what's going on with these people? They're all brown.
How come I can't touch the balls?
Oh, my God. This is terrible.
Ay, ay, ay. Well, the unterrible part of today is we have a great show.
Yes, we
coming,
do.
It starts now after all that. Patricia Guadalupe is going to be on. And also our man in Mexico City, speaking of football,
yes.
Frank Contreras. And who else you got on tap, Jeff?
I got Sakaya Shaw, who is the son of actor Stan Shaw, who's a great character actor.
Stan Shaw? Wow, that's great.
Mm-hmm.
Stan Shaw's son.
We got his son on. If you ever saw Harlem Nights, he played the boxer in Harlem Nights.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, he's been in all kind of movies, but his son is great. They got a show on BET, and he's an up-and-coming comedian, so it's going to be a great interview.
All right, fantastic. We also, of course, we love the comedians, and we also, the character actors, unsung heroes of Hollywood.
Mm-hmm. And you know what I can't wait for? This is what I can't wait for. I can't wait for the orange one to show up at Game 3 in New York, the Spurs against the Knicks. How are they going to turn down that booing? That's all I want to know.
Oh, my God. He's not going to read a proclamation, is he? He's just going to be there.
Yeah, right? His proclamation is, I think that every basketball team should have 3 white Americans on it. I'm going to write that up right now.
And they should be given 10 extra points each.
Mm-hmm.
At the very top of the game.
For white privilege. We want to go how everybody's behind the 8-ball. We just want y'all to know how this really works.
Oh, my gosh. Well, you know, speaking of privilege, I want to hear about all the what's been happening with Trump's white privilege fund. And I think if we strike up the band, we will hear about it from our first guests.
All right. Band? What's that smoke? Oh, that's the band.
Hail to Patricia, Patricia Guadalupe. Ocho correspondent from Washington, D.C. Hail to Patricia, she comes to spread the cheese. She comes with all the gossip, she's here to spill the tea.
Hello, hello, hello. I'm glad to be back. And I hope you resolve those technical difficulties from last week where I disappeared.
That was crazy. That was crazy how that happened.
I wanted to give you a little bit of an update on a couple of things that you were just talking about. According to the AP, the Associated Press, Becerra is actually pulling ahead right now.
Whoa.
In the governor's race in California, not a landslide, but he is definitely ahead at this point. So we'll see what happens. And of course, talking about the Department of Justice or the Justice Department or Injustice Department, depending on how you look at it, they're the ones that sent a federal prosecutor to observe the LA ballot counting there, because Trump has been saying there's a lot of cheating, and so we want to make sure that whoever wins is doing it, you know, in an honorable way. And so his person, of course, is Spencer Pratt in the LA race, although Karen Bass is ahead of him, and the same thing goes for the Republican in the governor's race. But like I said, Javier Becerra is a little bit ahead of him. So I'm sure that the White House or the Trump administration or Trump himself is going to say, you know, if we get to this point where the Democrats win in November in the Los Angeles mayoral race or in the California gubernatorial race, that, you know, it's all going to be about how it was all illegal and cheating and all of that nonsense. But so far, the Democratic candidates seem to be doing better than a lot of people thought, especially in LA, where Karen Bass has come over a lot of dealt with a lot of criticism, especially after the Palisades fire when she was out of town for some of that. So we'll see what happens. And then you had also mentioned that one of the department lawyers, one of the Justice Department lawyers, had said to an appeals court that, you know, the president doesn't need to get any kind of permission from the Congress to build a ballroom. And as a matter of fact, if he wanted to go into New York Harbor and tear down the Statue of Liberty, he could do that. And the appeals court the judges on there looked at each other, at least according to some of the reports, the reporters that were there, and appeared very skeptical to that. And because the lawyer for the Justice Department is also arguing that, oh, we already told Congress, which is not true, not true at all. We already went through the approval process, not true at all.
He's doing it by executive order, everything.
And so the appeals there, it's a three judge appeals court, two of them appointed by Democratic presidents. So, of course, you know that the White House is going to say that this is some kind of Biden, Obama, Clinton baloney. But you can't go into a courtroom and say, we did everything we were supposed to do when there's clear evidence that you didn't. And this is part of the issue that a lot of career lawyers at the Justice Department are dealing with, where thousands have either resigned, retired, or have been shown the door at the Justice Department because they feel that they just can't be trusted. And the people that are representing the government are going into a courtroom and saying absolute nonsense. Oh, we talked to the Congress, and, you know, and he can go and tear down whatever building he wants to. And as a matter of fact, he's going around D.C. and power washing some of the statues. And then there's also talk about how he's going to go around and put some gold-plated trimming on some of the stuff, which is, you know, I mean, maybe there's some sale at Michael's that we don't know about that
he said he would never tear down the Statue of Liberty because he has plans to turn it into a casino and hotel.
And you know, then that's exactly what's happening with a big protest in Albania, where the an investor group that's headed by Jared Kushner, his son-in-law, they're looking at developing what is now a sanctuary, a wildlife sanctuary in Albania, actually with endangered flamingos. And so, and Ivanka went on TV just a couple of days ago and said, we went over there and we thought it was just absolutely beautiful. And so we're going to go and purchase some of acres and put together a place where people can go and enjoy themselves. Well, the enjoy themselves.
Well, what is, people? What people?
Yeah, exactly.
And also, aren't these Trumps getting into so much trouble with islands? Why are they trying to find another one?
Right, but on this on this one, the Albanians froze the money, so they couldn't do nothing with it. Oh,
God bless the Albanians.
Yeah, well, they actually are luckier than the people in Gaza because you know that that's what they're trying to do in Gaza is completely decimate that area to have nice waterfront facilities of a hotel and a casino. And that's why the two sons, Eric and Don Jr., are in talks with people in Saudi Arabia to put a golf course up there in the middle of the desert, you know. So anybody who
these guys are like, I'm sorry to interrupt, but they're such cartoon supervillains.
Yeah.
You know, with if they get half of this stuff done, they will never know peace because people are going to come after them for law enforcement, this is not a threat. I'm just saying that humanity is better take care of this because this cannot be encouraged anymore.
Well, and that's the thing, you know, that a lot of people, you know, look at this and go, when you become president in the past, if you had any kind of businesses, you would put those in a blind trust. You would not get any money from it.
Yeah.
You would even sell it like Jimmy Carter did with the peanut farm that he was running. He sold that because he didn't want to have any kind of conflict of interest appearances. And this particular president and his entire family has done the opposite and made more money than any president in history just by being in office and doing all of these shady deals that they're not supposed to be doing. But here's the thing, it's not technically illegal. It just doesn't look good. And
he's tested the grounds of ethics because the other presidents did it because it was like considered ethically wrong to do these things.
Well, yeah, and that's why some lawyers are saying, you know, when some of these rules are written, they never thought that we had to put in there that you as a president have to shut down everything that you did before because we figured that you would be an honest person and do it without having to look at the rules.
Or that the American voters would hold you to some kind of responsibility in that regard,
which is
changing right now with Trump.
Yeah, and that's what's happening. And I think, you know, the turning point was going into Iran for no reason whatsoever, which has turned into an absolutely chaotic situation with no stoppage in sight. Gas prices, as all of you know, living out there in California, that have the highest gas prices anyway, are through the roof. You know, the unemployment numbers that came out today look pretty good, but that doesn't really mean. One of the things that unemployment numbers don't tell you is, you know, the amount of full-time versus part-time jobs in there, so that you may have people that have two or three different part-time jobs trying to keep up. And you have the Trump administration putting in more regulations for people on Medicaid and Medicare, saying now there's a new rule that they're going to try and pass, where somebody on Medicaid has to prove that they can work at least 80 hours a month with, if you do the calculation, that's a part-time job, 20 hours a week, or you're not going to get any kind of check, or even somebody on disability has to be able to work. This is what they're thinking. And then you have, you know, the education department with another proposal that if you're majoring in college with something that doesn't pay a lot of money right away, let's say philosophy or English, journalism, international relations, you know, the arts and humanities, that they may take away your ability to get some student loans. And this is interesting coming from a education department where the secretary has a degree in French. And everyone who knows that you graduate with a degree in French, good for you, but you're not going to be a multimillionaire right away. So they're doing all of these things at the same time that they haven't said diddly squat about all of the Epstein files and everything else that they're doing, including trying to move ahead with building a ballroom that nobody wants, or the war in Iran that nobody wanted. And now they're, you know, the 250th anniversary of the U.S. is still moving ahead. But like we talked about recently, a lot of the artists dropped out. And so Trump is saying, we don't want singers with no talent, and I'm going to open it up because I'm the greatest president that ever lived. And I'm a fine and highly dignified gentleman. That's what he said.
Who wrote that for him? Because he didn't think of that.
Yeah. So he's
ugly
bringing
Stephen Miller. Dude.
Yeah. He's bringing Lee Greenwood, the country music singer, and
is he alive?
Yeah. Apparently, yeah. So he can sing his God.
He's like Rex Reed in My Fair Lady. That's how dignified he is. He's He's gonna
damn.
Yeah, exactly. The rain in the White House stays mainly inside, you know. The call is coming from inside the house. And an opera singer, Christopher Macchio, both of them, Greenwood and Macchio, have already performed at Republican gatherings and at the inauguration. And Trump said that this guy is no match. He is as good as Luciano Pavarotti, and ever since Luciano Pavarotti and Placido Domingo, there's never been an opera singer who's so talented and so wonderful as like this one. You know, all of these platitudes
oh my God,
Greenwood and Macchio catch them at the Mall of America.
and you know who else shows up at these Republican conventions and festivals? Grindr. It shows up so much, it crashes.
Yeah.
It crashes the conventions.
That actually happened. That actually happened at the Minnesota Republican Party convention. That Grindr app crashed.
Yeah,
it did.
Well, I'll protest too much.
And coincidentally, that's how Jeffrey and I met.
Man, okay, hold up a second. You done went too far now. You done lift off the damn cliff right there. You done. You damn rumors. People going to run with that now. It's going to be on TMZ tonight. What are you doing?
Yeah, TMZ. I'm going to call them.
Yeah, you're going to have the TMZ come after you, man. They're going to follow you all the way to the airport when you escape. Yeah, you know?
Oh, my God. That's funny. You know. Hey, how about Todd Blanche, man?
That was the name of the coffee shop that I met you at. It was called Grindr's, remember?
No, I don't.
You don't remember, or it's not true? I mean... Yeah, so you were saying about Todd Blanche, the acting attorney general. They're gonna
hitman.
Yeah, well, you know, this is a guy who the Justice Department and the State Department, those are the two federal agencies that are supposed to be as nonpartisan as possible throughout the years, not this administration, and certainly not this Justice Department. And the attorney general is the acting one, because of course we know that Pam Bondi resigned. And he is very much in Trump's favor, and Trump is going to nominate him officially for that particular job. But I know that he's going to run into a lot of problems during the Senate nomination, because he decided, after a lot of Republicans finally found their spine, to drop that whole $1.776 billion slush fund that was going to go to that anti-weaponization fund, as the White House calls it, to pay out all of those people who rioted on January 6th in 2021 because they didn't like the results of the election. So they dropped that. But here's the thing. That particular legislation is still has in there that the Internal Revenue Service cannot audit Trump, past, present, and future, including his children, grandchildren, and any subsequent generations. And so I'm sure that when his nomination comes to the Senate, yeah, they try everything. He's going to get grilled, just like the guy that the president says is the new chief of national intelligence.
Oh my God.
Bill Pulte, and if you don't recognize that last name, P-U-L-T-E, he's the one, and his family are the ones that come up with the Pulte homes, all those cookie cutter McMansions and townhouses that you see springing up all over the place, especially out west where there's more land, obviously. So he's really big in Nevada, Colorado, some parts of Central California, and in the South in Tennessee and Missouri and other parts like that. This guy has absolutely no experience in intelligence, in the intelligence world, no experience in national security, nothing at all, but he is an extreme Trump loyalist. And there was a lot of pushback by the Republicans in the last couple of days. And so Trump came out and said, he's only going to be temporary there. And so what I'm going to have him do is look at the 2020 election, which was rigged. He's still on that topic. So whatever that means, that he's going to go around to several states and try and get their ballots from 2020. Several states have pushed back, including some of the key states like Pennsylvania and Michigan, that have said, you're not coming over here and getting anybody's ballot. And we are already certified a long time ago that the 2020 election was not rigged. But this is a thing that Trump keeps talking about. And so he's going to have this housing guy who his company has been accused of using drywall from China to run this kind of thing. So every single time, there's always some kind of ridiculousness. Although there is good news. This is the first a week ago that a judge said that the Kennedy Center people had to scratch out or chisel out the name of Trump from the building.
Yay.
And so they have several more days to do that. The judge gave them up to 2 weeks, so they have until a week from today, but there's talk that they may do it in the next few days, and there's people that are hoping that they live stream it or that they announce when, and you can expect a gigantic crowd, just like that crowd that's going to show up at Madison Square Garden to what some of the Knicks players are saying, you know what to do. So, it's going to be an interesting next few days with that.
Well, you know, I'm so tired of Trump and his DEI hires, man. It's just getting ridiculous.
Yeah. What is it?
Dumb entitled idiots?
Yeah, dumb entitled idiots. That's what it is. So we'll see what happens in the next few days, but those are the big things that are going on, including that, like I said, the Justice Department sending over some people to California to monitor that particular race. But in some of the other primaries, a couple of the Trump-backed candidates did not win. But of course, remember that primaries are when, except for California, which has an open primary. A lot of the primaries are the more conservative of the voters. And so you're looking at some of the places where the ultra conservative Trump backed candidate did win, but is probably going to go down in flames in the November election when the independent voters weigh in. So we'll definitely see that. But you see a lot of Republicans are in a panic mode. To the point that even some that are staying there, not some that are retiring, are speaking out and saying we can't continue like this. And in fact, four of them voted with the Democrats this couple of days ago to have Trump stop the war in Iran. But here's the thing. The negotiations, the White House says, well, we have negotiations going on, but the Iranians are not negotiating because the Iranian leader, according to reports, is in hiding and not coming out because he's the son, the more conservative son of the Iranian leader that was killed in an airstrike. And so the U.S. is not really talking to anybody. So when they say we're negotiating with the Iranians, that's absolutely not true. So it's basically a stalemate over there. No surprise. You know?
Yeah, no surprise until you drive up to that gas pump.
Yeah.
And it's higher than it was yesterday.
Well, and you know, the funny thing is that, you know, Costco has seen a gigantic jump in memberships just so that people can go and fill up at the Costco gas stations, which are cheaper than the quote unquote regular gas stations. So Costco's doing very well with this.
We're gearing up for that. I drove me and my brother-in-law drove my daughter's college clothes, all her wardrobe, while she flew home from college out somewhere in the Southwest. And I thought I was going to have a heart attack every time I pulled up the gas pump because we're driving a big old U-Haul type truck. And man, I was wiped out financially.
Well, that you can tell your daughter, well, if your major is not making any money, I'm going to have to take away all the money that I gave you before, like the department wants.
It would have been cheaper to ship it.
Yeah,
except for we had.
Oh,
you wanted to stop in all of those.
They had things. You know what I
mean? You wanted to stop at all those little places to get gas station sushi. I totally get it.
We did stop at the Arizona border, and the border guy was hilarious and. And said, yeah, I'm trying to get my kid to go to college. It's not working. But he, it was pretty funny. But I asked him, how do you live here? He said, oh, we're desert people. It was like near Needles, which is like 150 degrees. It's like,
damn.
Wow. 150. Climate change doesn't even affect them.
Damn.
Well, that's why. Cooler. Well, that's why the Spaniards called it Arizona, Zona Arida, Arizona, yeah. People, you know, people forget. Yeah. It. They warned you 500 years ago and you still.
Patricia Guadalupe, thank you so much for joining us on the Pocho Hour of Power. And I'm glad it's all climate controlled. We're not suffering. We'll see you next time.
Yes, indeed. All right. Yeah. And look forward to hearing what Frank Contreras has to say all the way from Mexico, man.
That's right. Woohoo. And all right. We're going to go to a short break. And also, the Speedy Gonzalez Sports Report is back. So don't change that bat dial. What's your hour power? KPFK 9.7 FM.
Does it have to be so damn tough? I don't know where I can go to let these ghosts out of my skull. My grandma passed, my brother's gone.
For KPFK, this is Charlie Gonzalez. The Dodgers are in sole possession of first place in the NL West. Two games back from the top spot in the National League, they'll be without Max Muncy tonight in Game 1 of a three-game home series against the Angels. The star third baseman was evaluated for a concussion during last night's loss at Arizona. The Los Angeles Sparks host the Dallas Wings tonight at 7 on ION as part of the WNBA Commissioner's Cup Tournament. Game 2 of the NBA Finals is this evening at 5:30 on ABC. With a win, the Knicks will be in position to sweep the Spurs and win their first title in 53 years at home at Madison Square Garden. This has been Charlie Gonzalez with your KPFK High Speed Sports Update.
Hi, this is Lonnie Jordan from the band War, and you're listening to the Pocho Hour of Power.
What's up, man?
What's going on, bro? How are you? Hola, Lisa. We are back. It's the Pocho Hour Power live and in full effect. What's up, Jeffrey?
Yo, man. Yes, I'm Jeff Keller. I'm going to be at the Ice House tonight.
I know who you are.
I know, but I got to let the people know that I'm still here.
We got to let the people know.
Let the people know that you know there's things going on tonight.
What's happening tonight, man?
Man, I'm at the Ice House, 7 o'clock in Pasadena, so come on out and support, man.
Wait, I thought you had your papers. How are you going to be at the Ice House?
I ain't got no stinking papers.
What the hell happened, man?
I don't need no
Your ankle monitor lets you go to the ice house?
My ankle monitor lets me go 50 miles.
Did you take a screwdriver to your ankle monitor?
It lets me go 50 miles from the house. Well, actually, 15. I just say 50.
Yeah, well, I have a cankle monitor.
Cankles. Oh my God.
That's disgusting. Hey, oh my gosh. First thing I saw was Trump's legs. Stop that. Hey, we are now we're back, unfortunately. The Put 2 Hour Power for you. Unfortunately for you. It's Friday afternoon, and we are joined all the way from Mexico City, CDMX, DF. It's FC, Frank Contreras. Welcome back to Pocho Hour.
Hey, what up, hey,
Frank?
Hey, guys, can you hear me? Can you hear me?
We can hear you, man.
Oh, cool. That's cool. That's a good thing on the radio. Hey, good to be with you, man. Good to be with you guys.
Yeah.
What's happening?
It's you're a little low as far as my clogged up ears are concerned, but yeah, there you go.
Take a hit.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, how's it going, guys?
There you go.
Hey, in Mexico, do they have ankle monitors? Or they just
Got one on right now. It's tuned to KPFK.
Come on, man. Ankle monitors is a thing. If you don't have
one, it's a radio ankle monitor.
You ain't living right.
It was first popularized by Paris Hilton.
Come on, I've been bedazzled.
She bedazzled her.
I've got one on myself right now as we speak. So.
The first ankle monitors in Mexico were Chihuahuas. Did you know that?
Guys, good to be with you guys. We're about less than a week away from the opening of the World Cup. You guys know because you're...
Wow.
Right? The United States is going to be a big player in that series of games. 104 total matches and... 78 of those will be in the United States. I don't know how many in the LA area. You guys know?
I have no idea, man.
Scores. Yeah, me neither. I don't know much about football, that kind of football, soccer. I know the ball is round. You can't touch it, I've heard, right?
Somebody call Speedy Gonzalez, our sports reporter.
Speedy would know.
And ask him. We need a whole schedule, a whole lineup.
That guy would know. Mexico will host 13 of the games, so the city here is gearing up. There's been a lot of cleaning up and getting ready, you know, for the last several months. The legendary Estadio Azteca, the Azteca Stadium, which holds more than 100,000 people, is all set to go. And the first game will be played there inauguration day next Thursday, June 11th. And Mexico will be facing off against Donald Trump's favorite team, South Africa.
I can't believe you just said that right
now. Certain,
But they will be wearing cankle monitors.
They'll be wearing canklets, yeah. With that special cream on the hands to block the...
Instead of playing, bruising. They'll be farming. So let's go. Let's keep it going.
Oh, no.
Mexico has three big cities that will be hosting the games. Mexico City, of course, where the opening takes place, as we just mentioned. Guadalajara, where a lot of you guys at the table here have family. And in the northern city of Monterrey, there's going to be games as well.
Wow. So Frank, yeah. I got to tell the people, you sent me that photo of yourself kind of prepping, camping out in front of Estadio Azteca. That thing is epic. I've never been there to see an event or anything, but man, it is. It looks enormous.
It is. Yeah, it's massive. It's all set to go. It's been renamed now. They're going to call it at least this this month. They're going to call it the Mexico City Stadium. It is a legendary stadium in the world of soccer. For those of you who are fans, you guys know that this is the only stadium in the world that will, starting next week, be the host of three different World Cup tournaments taking place here. So it's the only stadium that can boast that. The first games took place in 1970. That was that famous time when the Brazilian team won, led by Pele. You guys might remember him if you're my age. I don't know. Back in the day, 1970. And lots of stories about how Pele stuck around in the city here, standing by, waiting to, stay out of the crowds and then play that final match and win that legendary game. In 1986, Mexico hosted the World Cup. It was Argentina who came out victorious. Those of you who are fans remember Maradona, the name of the famous Maradona, who made these amazing Mexican miracle goals and won that game.
But was that the hand of God? Was that,
that's the hand of God, the so-called hand of God.
Maradona, wasn't he the guy that kept trying to snort the white lines off the soccer field?
Oh, man.
I don't know which guy that was.
He could play with a canklet, though.
He's well.
That guy can sure kick.
Yeah. So this is Mexico 2026, standing up for the World Cup. It's a chance for Mexico to basically take the world stage. The world is going to be looking at the United States to see how things go there, and also at Mexico and Canada. Canada is also co-hosting, three different countries hosting these games this time around. And so, people will be watching very carefully. For many Mexicans, this is kind of a matter of national prestige, We mentioned the 1970 World Cup games, the 1986. But this is being considered sort of Mexico's global, how do we want to call this, coming out party, maybe, something like that, coming onto the world stage. Mexico's no longer seen just as kind of, a maquiladora country that builds cars that are sold in the United States. Mexico is now becoming a very important economy, a very important player in the world economy. And so right as we prepare for these World Cup games, Mexico is also renegotiating a trade agreement with the Trump administration. This is what was formerly known as the North American Free Trade Agreement. Canada is not at the gatherings this past week that took place. Canada was not here in Mexico City for that. No deal struck just yet. The next round will be going to Washington. This is a major, major trade negotiation. I think the United States basically wants to pull in and tighten up and make it so that it's just North America, no outside players. Mexico is hearing repeatedly this word from the United States. It's traceability. They want to be able to make sure that all of the parts going into your cars, your refrigerators, your TV sets, medical equipment that's going north to the United States, all this different manufacturing taking place worth hundreds of billions of dollars. The United States wants to make sure that none of that's coming from China. And, of course, China is Mexico's second largest trading partner. So all of this is in the mix here as Mexico prepares to host the World Cup games, the world watching to see how the outcome, turns out here. The Mexican government, of course, has put out quite a bit of security. They want to make sure things are safe. People often have this idea that Mexico's a very dangerous place. I recently got a tummy ache from eating too many tacos. Those are kind of the major dangers I face here in the capital, guys.
Now, the scary part, like, the pressure is really on the Latin countries, right? Because there's been known through history, if a player makes a wrong move, he may not make it home.
Oh, well, I haven't heard that one yet, but I'm sure there's that kind of intrigue in the backdrop. We are keeping an eye on the Iranian team. You guys heard that the Donald Trump administration did not want to allow the Iranian national soccer team to stay in hotels in the United States. So Mexico said, fine, you can stay here. They're staying in Tijuana. They're having a good time. Tijuana.
They're going to have the best food there. Their
brains food, cold Coronas and hanging out, man, in Mexico, the Iranian team. So, yeah, there's always politics involved in this game, right? It is international. It is considered the largest spectator sport, event that takes place any time around the world. I guess that would even include something like the Olympics for some countries. In the United States, I don't know. Soccer, I guess, over time has grown and grown in places like California, around the United States. You see more and more clubs, people, you know, taking their kids to football clubs, soccer clubs and things like that. But it's still not the main sport. Not the main
Look out, pickleball.
Yeah.
Man, who played pickleball, man?
How do you play
pickleball? I think you play that
ball
on
with the pickle. I think
you play that on Grindr.
Yeah.
That's one of the activities they put in Grindr. Do you play pickleball?
We're doomed. We're doomed.
Did you check that on your compatibility check?
I read that off yours.
You guys, I want to ask you, what is this thing with the World Wrestling stage being set up at the White House? What's that?
Oh, my God.
First off,
we live in a cartoon. That's what it is.
First off, I can't believe ESPN is making it like it's a real sport. Right? Like wrestling is a real sport. Like you can vote, like you could bet on it. It's like, you do know this is fakeness. This is not real.
What?
It drives me crazy every time I see it.
You can actually bet on that stuff?
Yes.
Because it's scripted, right?
Yes. But ESPN bought it, so now they're trying to make it like it's one of the big sports.
Wow.
It's very strange.
Yeah, MMA is more real than that, man. Pickleball is more real.
Pickleball. Or Mexican-style wrestling looks more real.
Or what was the thing you went to, Lalo? Was it cholo boxing? What was it you went to?
No, slap. Fool slap fighting.
That's right. Fool
slap fighting.
The fool fighting champion.
Fool's fight.
It's like the fool. It's like, what is this? Like the championship of fools.
What's up, fool?
All the fools come. And whoever can outslap the other fool wins, right? You get a trophy. What is the outcome?
Yeah,
what is the achievement?
It wasn't that good. It wasn't that good. I wish there was more foo action. But it was just kind of amateur MMA guys.
It was amateur fools or professional fools?
No, the fools were in the audience for sure.
It was more posing, right? More posing. What's up, fool? What's up, fool? What you gonna do, fool? Come on,
fool.
If you see a fool, slap a fool.
Cross his line, fool.
I want you to slap a fool right now if you see one.
Cross the line again, fool.
Slap this fool.
See what happens.
You slap this fool, you see what happens.
You don't want none, fool.
Oh, you
want
to slap this fool?
Ladies and gentlemen, that was a recording from that evening.
Brought to you live on the Put
It Your just
Hour.
Went exactly like that. Guys, in the parking lot.
That was the best answer I ever heard about what is that thing on the White House lawn. Good, man.
Good, so Lord.
We're watching you guys from a distance, watching what's happening, watching the governor's race there in your big state, California. Maybe a Mexican descendant will rise to the top there and win that election. That would be interesting. Yeah. And Mexico continues to watch very closely what's taking place in the states, watching what's happening with ICE, watching the protests that were taking place in New Jersey. You guys saw the clashes over the past week, probably on social media. Tremendous
stuff at the detention center.
In New Jersey.
It's just terrible stuff.
Yeah, tremendous clashes taking place. And people fighting for the rights of those migrants who are inside. They say that they're being served rotten food, things like that. You guys know, sleeping in horrid conditions. It sounds like some kind of strange torture chamber or something. So Mexico's keeping a close eye on that. We know that there's a lot of Mexican nationals that are being detained right now, separated from their families inside U.S. centers like this. Around the country, not just in New Jersey, around the United States of America, these detention centers are being called out for inhumane conditions, and Mexico's keeping a close eye on that. And Mexico's also, and the rest of Latin America is also, keeping a close watch on Cuba. The United States continues to threaten Cuba and to say that, you know, Cuba's next, right? Right after Iran, right after Venezuela, Cuba is the next attack.
Yeah, they issued their threats against Raul Castro, and then you didn't hear anything about it anymore. They're just going to do it. They're going to do it, pull it out when they need it, I guess. Huh?
Yeah, when he turns 99 or something.
Yeah, it's like, oh, now he's in danger.
Yeah. So, yeah, Mexico's watching all this very carefully, standing by, waiting to see what happens. And President Claudia Sheinbaum continuing to have very high polling figures. We're seeing new polls coming out this month, and she's still around 70% approval.
Wow. And so there's still this campaign, from the right wing to try to, knock her out, right? Like,
yeah, there's definitely that taking place. Different experts have been able to verify that this actually is taking place. There's a campaign from right-wing political parties around Latin America. Some of them are in places like Argentina or even Honduras. You guys remember there was a former president of Honduras who was in prison in the United States. Juan Hernandez was in prison for cocaine trafficking along with his brother. President Trump freed those guys. They went back to their Central American nation and created part of this campaign to attack governments that do things for their people. They call them left-wing governments sometimes. and so Sheinbaum's government has been under attack from some of these forces, guys.
Well, to be fair, who's from Ecuador, that was Donald Trump Jr.'s drug dealer. So, you know, it was just like a family thing.
Yeah, inside the family, right? All in the family, yeah.
Man.
All right.
Frank, thank you so much for joining us all the way from Mexico City. We wish you all the luck. We'll be looking for you on camera for the World Cup.
Cool. We'll be standing by for you guys.
If there's a guy running out there with no shirt and no pants and just an ankle monitor, we'll know it's you.
Yeah, that'll be
trying to get a selfie.
trying to get more tacos. Yeah, guys, I'll be standing by for you next week from the Azteca Stadium and giving you the latest updates here from the giant Mexican capital here to the south.
Right on. We're always jealous when we know you're out there enjoying all those tacos and canklets. We love hearing about Mexico City, Frank, and Mexico and Latin America. Thank you for joining us on the Pocho Hour Power, brother.
Come back and do a live show from Mexico City someday when you guys can.
Yes, sir.
Oh, yeah.
All right, man. Take care. Thanks, guys.
Later. Hey, take it away, Jeff and Esteban.
Yes, sir. We got a very funny comedian here right now, Sakai Shaw.
What's up? What's going on, everybody? Thank you guys for having me. I appreciate it.
That's right. And an actor.
Woo! Yes, sir. I'm more accomplished in acting than I am at stand-up, but I'm catching up fast.
Yes, you are.
Because <Yeah. laughs> acting's going slow.
Oh, man. So what shows have you been on?
As far as shows that people might have heard of, I did a quick little stint on The Family Business by Carl Weber in season 3. In season 4. That was on BET. And then we started the spinoff of that show. So I'm one of the main cast members on The Family Business New Orleans. And we finished up season 1. That's already out. Paramount did the little merger. So everything's on Paramount now. But it's on, like, you know, Amazon Prime and stuff like that. It was on Netflix for a bit. That was fun.
And you're related to a certain actor.
I am indeed. My dad, directly related. My dad's a Stan Shaw. He was the boxer, the champ in Harlem Nights. He's been in countless other things. He was in Roots. He was in Rocky. He was another boxer in Rocky. He was another boxer in Tough Enough. it's a good time.
I love that he comes out and he supports you doing stand-up.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because it's hard. I couldn't get nobody, none of my family out there. And your dad out there supporting straight forwards. I love that.
He gives me the benefit of the doubt because he comes to multiple shows. I've had family members just come to one-offs and don't always go the way you plan that time. You know, I have my aunt and my uncle come out and see me when I opened for Coco Brown in Baltimore.
Uh-huh.
And they came to the first show, which was bad. It wasn't good. And the other shows were great, but my aunt didn't see that one. She saw the bad one. So then she's driving home talking, well, I'm glad you're doing what you love to do. I'm like, no, I'm good at this. I promise. I'm like, you gotta, I'm like that. So I got the tape from the second show. I sent it back to her. I said, see, you just came to a bad one. That's not my fault.
I love your dad came up to me and he said, you stay on him.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Dad of the year.
It sounds like he's giving you boxing advice.
Yeah, he would be the guy.
Stay on him, Jim. Stay on him.
So what made you get into comedy?
It's kind of funny. I never really thought about doing comedy, like, growing up, you know. I always really just wanted to keep it on acting. That's mm-hmm. what I went to school for. I went to school for acting. And I'd always, like, on the other side of that, I'd always been a comedy fan.
Right.
You know, because, like, I remember when I was a kid, I was seeing, like, you know, like, Kevin Hart DVDs and, you know, right. Richard Pryor tapes and stuff. And I always thought, just because I never watched them when I was young, I always thought they were just motivational speakers.
Oh, you
know,
really?
I was just like, there's hella motivational speakers out here, dog. Like, you know,
you know that's a joke, right?
Is it really?
You got to do that.
That's oh, all this
you, you listen to Rich Pryor go, and the guy who had the biggest, I'm like, dang, he's a motivational speaker.
Yeah, yeah, right, right. So I remember I just I spiraled kind of from the Kevin Hart stuff. That was the first comic I discovered.
Right.
And then I kind of spiraled from that into the Chappelle's, into, and I was coming up in, like, you know, I was finding out about it in, like, the 2010s, right? So
right.
I was, you know, pulling from everywhere. I was watching Key and Peele and Chappelle's show at the same time.
Right.
You know, I was watching Richard Pryor's stuff. I was watching Robin Williams, you know, Bill Burr. I was just kind of collecting. And it was just a hobby to me. You know, I really just enjoyed watching stand-up. And then one day I just I got fired from three jobs on the same day.
Well, you wait, stink. Wait, you ain't what? No Jamaican. Yeah. You got to go.
What happened to all that motivational speaker?
I know. I didn't watch enough, dude.
He was watching too much Chappelle. That's what happened.
Little but yeah, no, I got. I used to do security. I did overnight security at a mall. I ran security at a mortgage firm. In Thousand Oaks, and then I also managed a smoke shop. And the smoke shop fired me that morning because my boss went to jail. He sold some stuff to an undercover. That's separate. That's a separate story. But but his little brother took over the shop, and he fired everybody because he wanted to put his friends in there. And I was cool because I still had two jobs, right? But I got to my next job, got there. But damn, because I had just worked the whole night before and hadn't slept yet, I fell asleep.
Oh, and what kind of job was that?
Security. So it's not not where you want to fall asleep at. It was late, so there was nobody pulling up. But when right. I did, I woke up. I probably was
Oh, yeah, this is radio. You can't cuss on
Oh, that. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Radio, please forgive.
You're
this is my
fired.
First time on radio.
Hey, you just got fired again.
I'm sorry. The only thing I film every week, I film an unmonetized podcast on YouTube, so that we're allowed to do
That's
things
right.
over there. I'm sorry.
He dropped it, so we good.
Okay, you dropped it? Okay, yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I got him sweating in there. I'm sorry. Won't happen again. I'll keep it there. But yeah, so he took the picture of me.
He was the guy after your job, right?
Nah, he was just somebody going up to meet with the CEO. yeah, nobody important, but he took that picture of me, and about 5 minutes after I checked the camera, my supervisor, like, who was like the guy who our company was contracted with,
right.
That guy called me. He was an Australian guy, and I got on the phone and I was like, hello, and he said, hey, right, just gonna need you to pack your things, yeah. And I was like, I said, I can't even finish my shift. He said, no, we've got it covered, mate. He said, have a good night. And they hung up. I was like, wow.
Dang.
Wow. So I'm like, well, I still have one job, right? I get to the next job a couple hours later, and I pull up. And when I get there, so when I was hired as a seasonal guard who had an option to roll over because there was a guy who was in the hospital, right?
Right.
So I show up to my shift, and they're like, hey, Danny's back from the hospital. It's a miracle. And I'm like, that's great, man. And they're like, yeah, so we're going to give him your bonus, and we're just going to give him his job back. So we don't need you anymore. And I was like, oh that's cool.
God.
So I went home, and I was watching something. I was watching I think I might have been watching Kill Tony. Got 1 minute. Okay, I think I was watching Kill Tony, and I just saw a bunch of bad bucket pulls in a row, and I was like, man, I could do that. And I decided. So I wrote a couple jokes down, went to a little comedy club, Third Wheel, back when it was a uh-huh. thing, and I bombed terribly for about a year straight, and then I kind of got a little hold on it, but that's how that happened.
Yeah, but you're funny now, man.
Yeah, I try. Now. Thank you, man.
Yeah. Where can it? When's your you got gigs coming up?
Oh yeah, man. The only one that matters right now. I produce a show at the Ice House called The Oil Rig. It's monthly, And our next show is going to be on the 12th, next Friday. So if you guys could pull up for that, that would mean the world to me. It's on the Ice House website. You can find it. The oil rig and my face is on it. But I just realized you don't know what I look like. It'll be the black guy with an African-sounding name.
Black guy with an Australian accent.
There you go. That'll be me. You can find me there, mate.
You ought to do voice work, man. You're pretty good at the,
I've done a little bit.
Yeah, great. Yeah, that's funny. Very good.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it. It's not my only one. I got a couple other accents as well.
Well, thank you, man, for being on the Pocho Hour.
Thank you for having me, man. Yeah, I appreciate it.
Yeah, but before you go, let's hear your Mexican accent.
My Mexican accent. All right, Holmes, which one do you want, dog? Because I got the Frankie Quinones down, son. Like this.
Hey, Holmes. Friend of mine. I know Frankie Quinones. That was pretty good, Frankie.
Yeah, that's my guy, too. I wouldn't do it for someone I don't know. I love Frankie, bro. He's the homie.
All right. Well, thank you for coming on the Pocho Hour of Power. And also, I want to thank Frank Contreras.